I told Reverend Artis this morning she can't make comments anymore about getting lessons she doesn't want to preach on. These are really tough ones, but I think the message to us is one to feel empowered by. So let me work on that with you. I ended up growing up in a culture, at least in northern New York, but I have a feeling it might be more broad than that, that I had to unlearn. There were things as a child that I found out I had to put behind me and to outgrow. Let's see if any of this sounds familiar to you that I grew up hearing. A child is to be seen and... Oh, I guess it might not just be northern New York. Don't speak to an adult unless... I remember an incident, I just can never put it away, I guess, that my father needed to have some service work done on our car, and the garage in town was run by the Fulkerson family, so he put me in the car with him, and we went down to see the Fulkersons, and when Roy, the dad, saw us come in, he said, "Who's that you got with you there, Al?" And my dad's response was, "Oh, that's one of my tax deductions." Yeah, right. I agree. Ouch. Ouch. You know, I learned from this culture that my job as a human being was to be quiet and to in no way claim that I had any special skills or gifts or talents, that because that was bragging. And that was something a kid should not do. And that stuck with me a long, long, long time. And it wasn't until years later, when I was in my 30s, that I was an applications engineer at a sales office of a company in Cupertino. And I was an applications engineer providing technical support to the sales staff. And I got to be pretty good friends with the sales fellow who called on HP, and we spent a lot of time together. And one day he said to me, "You know, you seriously underestimate the skills that you have. And you really need to claim and you need to use more of what you're capable of, because I just don't feel like you're doing that." I remember that to this day. It was a lot of years ago. And it was this big flash of light in my head that went off that, you know, what I grew up with, I needed to set aside. And, you know, he didn't put it in terms, although he's a Christian, he didn't put it in the terms of God. He didn't put it in terms of Christian gifts, but I received it that way. I really felt like this was a message that God has given me skills and talents, and it's not bragging if those skills are being used to bring honor to God. I think that's the key. If the things that we do and the things that we say are intended to honor God, it's not bragging. It's respecting that we have a responsibility to give back and to use what we've been given. The master in our gospel lesson went away, and he expected his servants to make good use of the resources that he had left with them. That was his intention. But in reality, Jesus is telling this story to make clear, you and I are supposed to be risk takers. And that's something else I had to learn, because my brain doesn't really work that way. I like to have everything predicted. I don't like surprises. I like to make sure I do the plan. But God really expects us to work outside the box. And God does expect us to be bold and to be creative and to take risks, in order to make sure that we are taking every opportunity to bring glory to God. The concept of stewardship is something we use that word during pledge season, because that seems to be the word we inherit to talk about when it's time for pledges. But, you know, what it's really talking about is being intentionally creative about using the resources and the gifts and the skills and the finances and everything that we have, everything that God has provided for us, that we use those in order to bring glory to God. Stewardship is about that whole package. It's not just about the money part. I mean, obviously we have to care about that because we need a furnace that works and we need lights on. So there is that side of it that we need to handle. But the idea of stewardship is all about what this parable is about. The parable of the talents says that those who wisely use what God has abundantly given them is going to get abundance back, and others won't. When we follow God's lead here at St. Luke's, we operate a preschool that's based on Christian values, and we make no apologies for that. We make it very clear. This is a Christian preschool, and we're going to have prayers, we're going to have chapel, we're going to honor God in the way that we teach these children, and it's being received in abundance. It's great. We make sure Hollister knows that we are here, and we want Hollister to know what values motivate us in the things we do. We participate in these community events, the ones I've experienced already, the beer and wine stroll and the Decorate a Tree Project and Kids in the Park and the bike rally. But all of those are being used as an opportunity to witness about who we are and what we're about and what motivates us, what is important to us. And so we get blessings in return. In the preschool, we have a strong preschool that just has a great reputation in the city. And we see lives being changed. I've had one child, the parents say, you know, due to chapel time, they'd like to have a children's Bible for their children. Could I recommend one? I said, no, but I can get one and hand it to you. Don't worry about shopping for it. I know a really great one, and I'd be honored to provide a children's Bible for you. So I'll be doing that this coming week. I got to tell you about an incident yesterday. You know, last night was the Thanksgiving dinner, and so I went to Lucky's because I found out 79 cents a pound as turkeys at Lucky's. So, and they're fresh, not frozen, because I waited too late, and I couldn't get a frozen one. So I'm in the middle of Lucky's, and this 3.5-year-old child in the middle of the store, "Hi, Father Ken!" That is the coolest thing. It just felt so good. Well, I guess that's outreach, right? I mean, everybody in that store knew Father Ken was in the building. But to have the children so excited about the relationship building that happens in that preschool, I think is a blessing for us and for this community. And there are blessings that I see outpouring on this church. We're living within our financial means, but we're also growing in our presence and our awareness, our visibility in Hollister. We're doing important ministries at Chamberlain's and at the food bank and for some of the fire victims in the Santa Rosa area. We open up the faith journeys that Reverend Artis holds for Advent and Lent and Summer. We open them up to everyone, and we have a number of churches, like 3 or 4 churches, I think, that participate, and people who are unchurched who come to those events. What a blessing for that to be here, that we offer that. For that hard saying from Zephaniah, I want to add a little context to this. That this writing of Zephaniah, he was writing from Judah, and it was 25 years before the Assyrians dragged them off into captivity in Babylon. And so this is 25 years before that, and this is a prophet who is seeing how Israel is disrespecting their relationship with God. And it's a covenant relationship, right? I mean, that's what the Decalogue is about. That's what the Ten Commandments is about. So there's this covenant relationship there to have with God, and they're ignoring it because they thought things were going fine. They weren't being caught up in any of these wars. And the prophet, I had to look up in the index to find Zephaniah because the book is so short. It's only 3 pages long in my Bible. And one page of it is saying, here's how angry God is with you that you are ignoring the relationship that God wants to have with you. Here are the possibilities of what I, God, can do to you. Wake up. The second page of his 3-page book is saying, but you know, God does love you, and so you got a chance to redeem yourselves. And page 3 is saying God does ultimately love you, and you will be blessed, but you're going to have to go through darkness and horrible things if you stay on the track that you're on. Well, the transition piece for me on that passage is then to go to Thessalonians, where Paul is saying, you know, we are not subject to that because we are children of the light. Children of the light. I love the imagery of that, that we don't have to worry about the darkness. We don't have to worry about the horror of all these things that Zephaniah was saying were possible, because you and I are already adopted as children of God because of Jesus Christ. And so we have plenty to be grateful for because we are children of the light. God entrusts us with people we love and people who love us back. God entrusts us with skills that allow us to have jobs, that let us earn money, that let us live comfortably, and also allow us to bless other people who aren't so fortunate. God entrusts us, some of us with children of our own, some of us with young ones who look to us as role models that fulfills our life. God entrusts us with health and wealth and intelligence and relationships and living in this great country that we live in. Each of us has a responsibility to our Creator to be sure we are not burying our gifts that we've been given by God. That's not our job, to go bury them and hide them and protect them. Our guidance comes from the slave who was the one who received 10 talents and invested them wisely and returned 20 talents to his master. How can you invest what God has given you? Invest what God has given you so that it brings a return of glory back to God. That's our job, to bring glory to God in every decision that we make. The challenge before us is to continually be on the outlook and to act in bold ways, act in creative ways, to invest our blessings back into the community, back into the world, accomplishing everything for the glory of God's kingdom. Our theme for this Fall's Pledge campaign, I think I discussed it last week, is living generously. That's the theme I'd like us to just think about, living generously. It's about reinvesting with generosity what God has provided. This is the deepest meaning of effective stewardship. Amen.